Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, boys and girls. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me for my second anniversary show. We don't have music cues on the show, so we do what we can. 2 years. 2 years I've been doing this every Friday night except for two or three. And, I don't know how much of a difference it's really made in my life, except that I have something to do on Friday nights. I do enjoy doing it. Glad I have this opportunity. I'm glad that I have at least some people listening out there. I presume you enjoy it on some level, or you wouldn't be listening. What have you thought of the show over the past 2 years? I would be very interested to know if you wanted to send me a note at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. That's MUDTOESASQUATCH. There's also the Facebook page, mudtoesasquatch. There's also the Twitter page, mudtoesasquatch. The Twitter page is pretty neglected. I only have four pitiful followers at the moment. Not pitiful followers, but number four is pitiful. So if you care to add to that, I would appreciate it. You have to follow me on Twitter. I do read everything that gets posted. Sometimes it takes me a little while to get around to it because I don't have internet to my home anymore. I have to walk to the college to use theirs, and it's always very crowded. Although it won't be after next week, because next week is finals week, and the children are all going away for a few months. Won't be back until late August. Always a fun time on the campus for me. Can actually find a parking place within a block or so of my place. But I digress. I was talking about how much I wanted you to write me and let me know what maybe your thoughts have been or what you remember about the last, if there's anything particular that happened that you remember in the last 2 years that you liked or that you didn't like. I failed to mention there is also a webpage, mudtoesasquatch.com, where you can also see my blog. It lives there, as well as on my Facebook page. So if you'd like to take a look at the writings of Mudtoe, that's where you would find that stuff. And I generally do speak about the blogs on the radio show, so it can give you a little bit of head start on what's going to happen at midnight. If you want to, like, I post it on Friday afternoons generally. So if you want to be maybe a quick sneak preview of what might be spoken about on the show in the evening, you might have a look at that at some point during the day. What else should I tell you before I get started? I should tell you that I should welcome you to the With Insights Radio With Insights Radio channel of Blog Talk Radio. And there are other programs on here. Mondays at 6 is Iggy and Rosa's intuitive readings. I think it's just intuitive readings with Iggy and Rosa. At 6 o'clock on Mondays. At 7 o'clock on Tuesdays, you've got Jenny Seek and her Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Wednesdays at some time in the afternoon, it seems to jump around. I think it's at 2 now. It's Heather Tapia's Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour. And then on Fridays at midnight, here I am again, every week for 2 years, your faithful narrator of life as we know it, Mudtoe Sasquatch. Thank you once again for joining me this evening. Let me talk a bit about my day, because it was fairly eventful. I saw my new therapist today, and it took me quite a while to get to a new one. I used to see one that worked for the university, and that was available to me as a student at the university as a free service. But I think when you needed the kind of therapy I needed, which was many sessions, I think it was, we got 10 for free, if I remember right. You got 10 every year for free, every academic year. And then you had to start paying a $15 copay, so it wasn't bad. I've never really been in a situation where I had to pay full price for my therapy, so that's worked out well for me. But once I was no longer a student at the school starting in September, that was not available to me. And I tried to do without it for a while, and it just doesn't work. I need somebody outside my circle of friends to sort of bounce things off of. There are things that experiences that I have that maybe involve one of my friends, and I don't want to tell one of my other friends because then that sets up sort of a weird dynamic. What happens if they tell them? What happens if they say something to somebody, maybe even unwittingly? I've talked about this before at some point. I really need to start taking notes on what I say on the show. I'm not incessantly repeating myself. But anyway, I do feel the need for the therapy because things bother me and they get in the way of my progress. And there are other things that I could do. If I were to crank up my meditation practice again, I think that might buy me a little bit more serenity as well. But what happens is if something is on my mind and I don't feel I can speak to any of my friends about it, you know, I'll go down by the river and stand there and watch the water go by all day instead of, you know, sending those forms into the student loan people, or instead of checking with the bank because I lost my checkbook. And, you know, what do I do if somebody's stealing my checks and getting my money out of my check and so forth. And instead of taking care of things that need to be taken care of, or, you know, putting in for a job someplace, or writing part of my book, you know, things that, you know, would be productive, would be moving me forward, what I seem to do is just find a place to stew about this thing that's bothering me. And I find that therapy is useful, has up until now anyway, been useful in getting around those blockages, getting past things, or at least giving me a forum to sort of safe environment to talk about those things, and then I can move on. So I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I had that first appointment today, and I think it went pretty well. I don't know if this poor therapist knows what she's in for. But we'll see. She's recommended that we see each other every week, every other week, which is sort of my preference. It's a good timing for me. I find that, you know, my craziness quotient, you know, after therapy is considerably lower, but then starts gradually building back up. And after about 2 weeks, I do need to have it bled off. So I think that's gonna work out. It's gonna be to be a fine plan. So I will keep you up to date on how that's going. It's interesting, the place that I'm going is downtown, and it's a program that's paid for by the county, I believe. So that'll be a thing when I do start making a little bit better living. I'll be out of therapist again, because obviously if you're not poor, the county won't pay for it. I believe I'm officially poor now, but the county has given me my stamp of approval. I am an impoverished person, so yay for that. What else? Oh, I started to talk about the office is down. It's way downtown. I mean, it's downtown where the big buildings are, and it's near a little spot called, what's near all the night spots that serve the arena district. So I'm sort of in the belly of the beast. Arena district, not really my favorite. It's not that I dislike the place. I think that I think that it's not such a great idea for the city to spend so much money on enterprises that primarily benefit just one very small class of people. And when I'm in the arena district, I'm constantly reminded that that's the mindset. That's the way our city is run now, and it wasn't always like that. I had a Facebook friend post a picture of the old Lazarus building downtown, and showing what that area used to look like. I think the picture was from the 1960s, and, you know, that's a ghost town now, that area. A lot of those buildings have actually been torn down, aren't even there anymore. you know, they put a big park up and an outdoor music space, which is nice, but does that, one wonders how often that gets people, really gets people downtown. You know, maybe if you have a concert once a week, you might get people, if they decide to go to every concert, they're down there once a week. Whereas I think a more rugged selection of term one, I guess rugged is the word that's coming to my mind, and I'm not exactly sure why. But having the places to go to shop, I mean, shopping is what seems to move people, capitalists that we are, and consumers that we are, and all the shopping has moved out to the edge of town thanks to our wealthiest citizens, and there's nothing left in the center but places for homeless people to sort of attack you. Not attack, but there's a cluster of homeless people. There's an organization, the Coalition for the Homeless, and they they print a newspaper, and homeless people sell the newspaper for extra money for donations. And you'll see them tend to be clustered in various places. Maybe they are spread out a little bit, you know. I don't know if that was included in the training, but I got one of those today. I was downtown, and I went to the place right behind where the counseling office is, called North Market. And there's some very interesting food shops there. And I was going to get lunch there, but it was too crowded. Lots of other people, like, downtown have that idea, I guess. So I ended up going for sushi, which is a bad, 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 bad choice. I love sushi, but it's way too expensive. I don't need to be buying food that's expensive. I got food at home in my freezer, food at home in my refrigerator. I cooked for myself a grand total of one time this week. It's just not going to be possible for much longer. You know, the bank account continues to dwindle. And I've been doing very well with the standardized patient stuff at the medical school. I've been getting 3 days a week pretty steady. But that's going to, as I said, the students are getting ready to leave. It's all, I mean, the steadiness of the work has been because they're doing exams. You know, exams for medical students. Exams are over, and what I've been told is it is really, really, really slow in that, in the standardized patient business during the summer until the students come back in the fall. So I'm going to have to come up with another revenue stream. And I mean, the theater thing, we're about to see where the theater thing is going to go. Because we've got one show going on Saturdays, and I do the lights and the sound, and I split that job with one other person. And by splitting it, I mean I do, one show a month, I do two Saturdays, and this other person does two Saturdays. So two shows a month is basically what I've been getting. And but the people who run the theater keep talking about wanting to start, have other shows going on other nights. And that would open up more stuff for myself and for the other person. And they have two new shows. They're opening up Thursday and Friday nights in mid-May. So if both of those shows if both of those shows were to catch on, then I would be doing six shows a month instead of two. Which would bring me at about $250 a month net, which, that's not a lot, but that pays my electric bill, and it pays my car insurance and my renter's insurance, and what else? There's something. It pays basically everything except my gas bill. I'd still have to come up with money for my gas budget for $68 a month, which is not bad at all. I still, I'm still drawing my rent from the money I put away from my student loan, and that's not going to last forever. But at least I'm at the point where I can, I know I'm able to pay all of my bills, and I can start figuring out how I'm going to, paying the rent. But, all that's predicated on all three of these shows catching on. By catching on, I mean that they're able to run them week after week after week, and they still have 60, 70, 80 people coming to see them every week, so that they're making money on it and so forth. Again, I enjoy working there, but it's not something that's been, real steady money for me so far. So, not wanting to depend on that, I hope that it happens, but it may not happen. I mean, all of the things that they've tried so far on, except for the Saturday, the Saturday night show has been pretty steady, but everything else that they've tried has, they haven't even been able to get, they've had to cancel the show. They didn't have enough people to even, bother to do the show. So, I mean, that's the history so far under which these two new shows are going to open up. So, again, fingers crossed, but just in case, I need to have something to do, even if it's something I don't particularly like, but something to limp along until the standardized patient stuff starts to come back in the fall. And one thing I have been thinking of, let's see, gosh, is this going to take too long to explain? I hope not. I go, there's a friend of mine who works at a spa, and I go there to get my hair cut to support her. It's really way more than I need to be spending now for a haircut, but then I also go out and eat sushi for lunch, so I'm into spending way more money than I need to be spending. There's always a sign saying that they need people to work at their call center. And I'm thinking, is this like really the most horrible job there has ever been in the world, because they're always looking for people? And I asked my friend, and she said that the main thing people say about it is that the job is just terribly boring. But evidently, it's not so much that it's, such a high call volume. It's kind of a low call volume, but you have to be there to answer the phone. And I thought, boredom is something that I can deal with. I am well able to entertain myself if there's nothing else going on. The stories go in my head. The stories that I should be putting down on paper and sending them out there so they can earn their keep. They're kind of freeloaders. They're around in my head all the time, but they never earn me anything. But I have to get them onto the paper so that they can start earning me something. But my point is, I can always turn that on, in my head and entertain myself. I can get myself through all sorts of rather dull situations that way. Now, the downside of working in a call center, of course, is that I really, really, really hate to use the telephone. But if this is a matter of people calling in to make appointments for spa services, maybe I would be able to deal with that. I don't know. But, it's something that I could try. And, maybe it's something that I could slug my way through enough to, again, just to get to the fall. And then in the fall, hopefully, fingers crossed, high school football is happening. I know high school football will be happening, but I film high school football. I haven't heard from the people yet to see if they want me to do it next year, but it's kind of early yet. Probably in the past, I really haven't heard from them before. Memorial Day, and that's still a ways off. Hopefully, I will hear from them, because that's pretty decent money. Although, I'm supposed to upload the videos to their website, and I don't have internet in my house anymore. So it's kind of interesting how that is going to happen, but again, we'll kind of cross that bridge when we come to it sort of situation. So I really wasn't going to spend that much time on that sort of on that dissertation on my life and times, but I never know. I have no idea what words I need to say. Now my idea is this is my ministry. It's a ministry of words, and my sort of understanding with spirit is that I say what the words that come to me, and that there's someone out there who needs to hear those words for whatever reason. I don't know why, so I just say what it is in my heart to say, and hope that someone out there is getting something out of it. So that's sort of my strategy. I'm picking the things I'm talking about. If there really is no strategy, the show almost never goes the way I think it's going to go. I look up at the clock, and then all of a sudden it's 20 after 12. At least I am reasonably awake this week. Last week, I was nodding off about this time of the show. It was because I had to work. I had to get up at 7:30 in the morning and to work all day, and then I didn't have time to grab a nap, and I got time to do the show, and I was pretty close to comatose by the time it was about over with, and I was trying to, you know, unplug the phone because it had been, like, out of charge before I started the show. Just, like, unplug it and plug my computer in and do some other things. I just couldn't make my hands do the, you know, perform the tasks. My brain just wasn't in sync. So today was different. I didn't have to get up so early. I came back after my therapy appointment and my lunch. I came back to write my blog and submit that, which I have to talk about here pretty quick before I run out of time. And I got back home and was able to take a nap. And then went out and watched the NBA playoffs at a local watering hole and fueled up on some caffeine. So I'm actually feeling pretty wide awake right now. In fact, once the show's over, I've been thinking about walking up to the corner, there's a Taco Bell in the corner, and seeing if they have any of those Cool Ranch tacos yet. And they didn't pay me to say that, by the way. I did talk about the blog, so let's talk about the blog. Today, it was sort of, my blog was a, not a response, but an extension of something I had written. I posted on my Facebook page, actually my personal Facebook page, not my MudToad page. But I had seen something kind of asinine that made me angry, and I wrote an angry response, which is not a good choice for me. I tend to get too broad with the response. You know, I'm not responding to the one angry person. I'm responding to a class of people that I think that one angry person represents, which is usually I'm usually wrong. And so there was a point I was trying to make, and I think the point was lost in the anger and sarcasm of my reply. So I take a step back from it and wrote, you know, a blog entry that tried to make that point, which was that the post I'd seen was about somebody writing something very hateful about the president and the liberal agenda. And my point was, it's really the fault of conservatives that the liberal agenda tends to continue to hold sway, because, you know, the conservatives have very, very wealthy friends. I mean, the liberals have wealthy friends, but the conservatives have really, really, really wealthy friends who could end this recession in a heartbeat if they chose to do so. And if they did choose to do so, the people that had jobs as a result of it would not be so anxious to support President Obama and his liberal agenda, because people, once they're okay, tend to forget about everybody else. So this is a point I was making, although I don't, you know, like I say, I don't want to talk down the what I see as the good points of the liberal agenda, which is that there are people who need help and people who are looked down on by the establishment who don't need to be looked down on, and that needs to change. But I was saying, yes, rather than sit and spit poison, why don't we just create the jobs, and then people won't be as anxious to support, you know, these drastic changes being made in our institutions. They'll just say, no, keep them the same. We're fine the way we are. You know, that's, unfortunately, there's that lethargy, that inertia that goes with feeling comfortable. So then that works in the Republicans' favor, because they have that connection to the people who could actually make it happen. So that was the blog. My political blogs, I don't know, they don't seem to fly the way the other stuff does. The one I wrote about, I wrote the blog from last week, which I can't remember if I even talked about in the show, because I may have been asleep and talking about it, or not talking about it. I wrote about horse meat and the eating of horse meat. Sometimes I think those more, and the one before that was about, I had two dietary blogs in a row, the one week before that was about octopus and eating octopus. And those kind of topics seem to garner more comments than the more serious stuff, which you kind of see people on the internet complaining about that all the time. You know, I write this, you know, go on for pages and pages in this really deep post, and nobody says anything. And then, you know, I say, I went shopping at at Nordstrom's or whatever, and you get 760 likes. You know, people tend to not reward deep thought. I can see how deep it is, but it's sort of, it's very much reflective of the way I think about things. And I've thought about, you know, since I wrote it and posted it, I thought about it 20 different ways I might have expressed myself better. But again, the whole point of the blog is to write it very quickly. It's not meant to be polished writing. It's meant to be off the top of my head writing. I write it, and then I give it a once-over to correct spelling errors, and then I send it out to the world. So again, your comments on the blog or on anything else are always most welcome. Now, in the last 4 minutes, I get to think of things, really weird things to talk about. I was on the bus this morning, and there was a dog on the bus. It was a working dog. Now, that's not the right word. They used to call them a guide dog, you know, for a blind person. But they have a fancy name now because they might be, it doesn't have to be a blind person anymore. It could be other people who need them. There was a dog, this particular dog was helping a blind person. And this poor thing, you know, they say, there's a big sign out there, you can't, you know, you're not supposed to have dogs on the bus unless they're these working dogs. And, you know, a bus isn't made for a dog. There isn't, you know, there's not a lot of space for them to spread out. You know, this poor dog was trying to sit up, and the floor was too smooth, and he couldn't get traction with his back paws, and he just kept sliding down, you know. And finally, his master there put him underneath his seat, which was kind of cramped for him. He was a Doberman, so he was not a small dog. And there's just this look, this, I don't want to say misery, that's not right. It wasn't misery. The dog wasn't unhappy, just kind of like was missing. He knew this is not a dog's life. I think that was, there's a knowledge, some sort of perhaps ancestral knowledge, that this is not what a dog's life is supposed to be, you know, crowded on a bus and trying to pull your paws, your front paws back so people don't step on them as they get in the bus. I was very concerned about that. I was watching, you know, because I wanted to see, because he had his paws out into the middle of the aisle, and people, and most people really don't look, but perhaps spirit was protecting him, but nobody, as far as I saw, he didn't get his poor paws stepped on. But just interesting that I got to share that moment with another one of the spirit's creatures who feels that same, or at least a similar sense of displacement as I do. I mean, I picture a lot of these dogs come from towns. I just picture people coming along and, you know, pulling the dogs out that are going to go for training, and it's sort of an Oliver Twist kind of thing. They're coming around and distributing these dogs and, you know, deciding their fate without the dogs really having any sort of say about it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I mean, it's a vital task, I think, and the dogs on balance would lead a pretty good life. But you could very much tell that this dog knew that it wasn't the dog's life that he was leading, and perhaps would have been nicer if he could have. My other sort of extra story was going to be about the waitress at this place I go to watch the playoffs, but it doesn't look like I'm going to have time to tell it. Perhaps we'll get to it next week. In the meantime, I hope that you have a beautiful week. I hope that you enjoyed this second anniversary edition of Mud to at Midnight. I hope you will be back many, many more times to hear my ramblings and fumblings. And please come back next week when, if all goes as scheduled, I'll be broadcasting from Mom and Dad's place. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.